Let's jump into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 22 to 34. Father, thank you so much for this time in your Word. We pray that you would speak into our hearts. Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would definitely have said what needs to be said today. Thank you for the Word that you're going to speak into our hearts. Thank you for this important subject that we're going to look at in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 12, verses 24 to 34, the title of this message is Exposing Worry. Exposing Worry. Now, all of us are guilty of worrying. We worry about our children. We worry about our jobs. We worry each month about certain bills. We worry about the future. We worry, worry, worry. Ladies, for most of you, you think worry is a spiritual gift. It's time you look up. You worrying about something. Worry, worry, worry. Now, I don't think we realize that worrying is a sin. I mean, and many of us, we nod our heads saying, yes, yes, we know that, yet we still do it. And so we're going to expose the three dangers of worry. Number one, worry is destructive. Worry is destructive. Number two, worry is deceptive. Worry is deceptive. And number three, worry is deformative. Worry is deformative. Now, these verses that we're studying today, they're very special to me because God spoke to me through these verses. I'll never forget the day. It was June 29th, 1994. When I was still in California and I knew that I was coming to Virginia to start this church, I was worried and concerned about how I was going to take care of my family. I had small children at the time, one needing several surgeries. So I wondered, how was I going to take care of them? How was I going to afford to pay for these surgeries? And because, you know, without any insurance, and I was just worried. You know, what if the church, what if it flops? What if it doesn't grow? And I was worried and concerned. And at that particular time, as I normally would do, still is my habit today of reading through the Bible. And I was just in the Gospel of Luke and I was reading these particular verses as I was worried about these particular things. And then I came to verse 22 that we're looking at, and the Lord began to speak to me and comfort me through his word. Let me just pause right here and say, spending time in God's word is always the cure to worry. So if you're worrying about something, allow the word of God to bring comfort to you like it did to me almost 20 years ago. Now let's look at the three dangers of worry. Look at verses 22 to 29. Then he said to his disciples, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Now, the Greek word translated worry in verse 22 is marinao, and it means to be torn apart. And the phrase anxious mind in verse 22, that Greek word is metarizo, and it means to be held in suspense. It carries the connotation of a ship in a storm or as a meteorite is being held out in outer space. Our English word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word that means to be to strangle. And so the first danger we can see just by putting these words together, the first danger we see is that number one, worry is destructive. It's destructive. It destroys our trust in God. It strangles our faith in God, keeping it from growing. It causes us to be like a ship tossed in a storm. For example, we go back and forth with statements like, I know things are going to be all right. God is on our side. Then the next minute, no, I think we're going under. It's not going to work. Tossed back and forth. Oh, many of you came here this week, tossed back and forth with these particular things. Worry tears our walk with God apart, which is what the Greek word for worry means. And so as we can see that number one, worry is destructive. It's destructive. The second danger of worry is number two, deceptive. It gives us a false view of life in God. Worry deceives us into thinking that life is made up of what we eat and wear, like verse 22 says. Worry deceives us into thinking that God doesn't care, because if he did, he would do something about the very things we are worrying about. To give you an example, you remember in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, the disciples were worried and afraid that they were going to die in the storm that they were going through. Jesus wasn't worried. The Bible said that he was asleep. And to show you he was even more at peace, it said that he was asleep on a pillow. Just knocked out. So they woke Jesus up and said in verse 38, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? In other words, if you cared, you would do something about this storm that we're in. How many times have we said these very words? Maybe we haven't said them out loud, but in our hearts, we say, if you cared, you say you love me, God so loved the world. If you cared, you'd do something about this thing I'm worried about. Jesus reminds us in verse 24 of this chapter of Luke that we're looking at, that if God cares enough about the flowers and birds, don't you think that he cares about you? He is saying that we can trust him. You know what? Worry is so deceptive that it deceives us to the point where we think by worrying, worrying can actually do some good. That's the deceptive part about worry. Jesus tells us in these verses that worrying doesn't accomplish a thing. He tells us in verse 25, by worrying, can you add one cubit, which is 18 inches? Can you add that to your height? No. In other words, he's saying, so why are you worrying? Why are you worrying about things you have no control over? He said, why are you worrying? Are you deceived by worry today? What is it that you're worrying about? Is it your children, worried whether they will be safe and make it through life? Is it your job with the talks of cutbacks and layoffs? Is it getting out of the military? Are you worrying about your financial future? Or are you deceived to the point where you think that your worrying can do some good about the situation that you're in? So many people think that if I worry enough, it will change my circumstances. Ladies, that doesn't work. Your children are still doing what they're doing. The job, they still going to have cutbacks or whatever. So worrying, it's not, your husband's still getting out of the military. Your worry will not change your circumstances. The point is that Jesus is making, so why are you wasting that energy worrying? That's this point that he's making. I'm serious. Ladies, you think that a spiritual gift given to you by God is to worry. You think that's it. Now, am I saying men don't, we don't, yeah, we worry. We worry. But not like you. Compared to you, ladies, it's like we don't worry at all, because it's so different. It's so off the scale. And worrying can't do any good. That's the deceptive part about worrying. We think it can do some good. Oh, I'm really worried. I'm freaking out. Oh, surely some good is about to come, you know. And then when it don't come, Jesus is saying, why are you worried? Why are you worried? The God who created the heavens and the earth, the God that measured the universe with the span of his hand, The God that says heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool, something he just kicked his feet back on. The same God who made all these things. He said, why are you worried? Am I not your God? Did I get off the throne? Did I stop being God? Did somebody take my place? He said, so why are you worrying? So we've already seen that worry is, number one, destructive. Worry is number two, it's deceptive. But worry is also number three, deformative. Look at verses 30 to 34. It says, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The third danger of worry is danger is number three, deformative. It keeps us from growing in our relationship with the Lord. And it makes us like the unsaved world, according to verse 30. Look what Jesus said. He says, for all these things, all what things? The things we're freaking out and worried about. All these things the nations of the world seek after. So when we're worrying, we're just like the unsaved world. In other words, worry is a sin. How can we share our faith with the unsaved world and tell them to put their faith and trust in the Lord when we are doubting and worrying ourselves? We're saying, trust God and he will see you through, and we're not doing it ourselves. How can we do that? How can we tell a world to trust in God and we don't trust him? How can we say he will see you through when we feeling in our heart he didn't saw us through? And so this is the thing we have to look at. So the question is, how do we have victory over worry? How do we have victory over this? There are three ways. A, realize that God knows our needs so we can trust him to meet them, according to verse 30. Look at the second part of verse 30. He says, and your Father knows that you need these things. It's been rightfully said, God will supply our needs, not our greeds. He knows what we need. He knows that. Romans 8:32 says, God who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? See, we can trust the Lord. So A, realize that God knows what we need. B, we need to check our hearts. This is a big one. We need to check our hearts. Check our hearts. As has been said on the streets, check that, boo. You need to check your hearts. Check it. You know why? Jesus said, that's all some of y'all gonna get. That's all y'all gonna remember. They ain't gonna remember nothing else. B, we need to check our hearts. And Jesus told us in verse 31, we need to seek the kingdom of God. Now, Matthew 6:33, I love it. He asks first. So he says, seek his kingdom first. And all these things, all what things? The things you are freaking out and worrying about will be added to you. We seek God's word through, we seek God through reading his word, through praying, seeking his face, by coming to church, telling people about the Lord. We wake up saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? We seek in this word, Lord, give me wisdom for the day so I can walk in the wisdom of your word. And we're like, Lord, what would you do? Lord, where will you go? Would you say this? Would you respond this way? Would you go there? And we're seeking him for putting him first. He says, all that other stuff you're worrying about, he said, I'll take care of that. He said, but I must be first. So we have to check our hearts. We have to check our hearts. Is the Lord first? Do we put him first? Or is everything else first and the Lord is second, third, somewhere down the line? So we have to check our hearts. C is in 1 Peter 5:7. It says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The word cares there is where we get worries from. Casting all your worries upon him, for he cares for you. Now, the word casting in the Greek is where we get, it's ripto. It's where we get our English word riptide from. You know how the water goes out and it comes back in. That's the riptide. And so what he's saying, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. So cast them all upon the Lord. Now, the thing about it, it may come back. You cast it on the Lord, it may come back after a couple of days. You cast it on the Lord, it may come back after a couple of weeks. You cast it upon the Lord, it may come back after a couple of months. But you keep casting upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. The Lord isn't tired of hearing from you. He's not like, you know, there's Tony again. Oh, my goodness. Don't he know I got a universe to run? I mean, my goodness. No, he doesn't get tired of hearing from you. You cast it upon the Lord. It may roll back like the riptide, but you keep casting it upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Then verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your heart today? Is it on earthly things or kingdom things? Are you putting God's kingdom first or everything else? If our hearts are on earthly things, then we will constantly worry. But if our hearts are fixed upon eternal things and God's kingdom, then his peace will guard our hearts, like Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Be anxious. That's what it means to worry. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Cast it upon the Lord. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all your understanding. You're going to wonder, why is that you have peace and your mind is saying, whoa, well, what's going on? Everything is going, it's crazy around, and your heart is saying, I'm at peace. You know why? Because the word guard there is a military word in the Greek language. It means to set a garrison around. When we cast our cares upon the Lord will set a garrison around our hearts, keep our hearts from freaking out and worrying, and our hearts will be at peace. That's the whole thing. This is the way that we can know whether our heart is on kingdom things or earthly things. Are you at peace? If you're like, no, I'm here and I'm freaking out and I'm worried, your heart is on earthly things. When your heart is on kingdom things, you're at peace. Are you experiencing the peace of God in your life? Yes, your mind knows that things are going on crazy around you, but your heart says, I'm at peace. That's because you've been casting it upon the Lord. So if you're experiencing God's peace, hey, praise the Lord. If not, if you antsy, unable to sit down, be at rest, pacing back and forth like an expecting father, your mind is on earthly things. It's on earthly things. But when we seek God first in his kingdom, everything else will be added to our lives, and we would experience God's peace. I love the heart of Jesus in verse 32 when he says, do not fear, little children, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In other words, fear and worry can keep us from receiving what God has for our lives. Or fear and worry can keep us from experiencing God's kingdom in our lives. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Many of you are freaked out and tormented by fear and worry over things that's happened. That's because your focus and your mind is on earthly things. Somehow in your mind, God is off the throne. Somehow in your mind that you have magnified your problems above magnifying your God. And you're wondering why you're antsy. You wonder why you can't sit down. You wonder why you're pacing back and forth, wiggling and worrying and biting your nails and all kind of stuff, eating your skin. And you know, that skin that really hurts, you know, that right up there, you pulling it and it pulls all the way back to your hand like that. That's why. 'Cause you're freaking out, worrying, all freaked out. Some of y'all got some band-aids on there right now. Been hurting. Get some sauce on it and you just kind of freaking out. That's because you're worrying. Freaking out, biting nails and carrying on. Crazy, crazy stuff. God wants you to be at peace. And so 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So if God didn't give us a spirit of fear, who did? That's Satan himself. He wants us to worry and not trust God. He wants us to worry to the point where we think that we need to take matters into our own hands because, God, you're not helping, therefore I must do it. And it calls us to act independently of God instead of dependently upon him. And we run away from him instead of towards him. And we run towards everyone else, anyone and everyone who we think that can help us. And we fail to realize what Psalm 46 verses 1-3 says. It says, God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The psalmist said that God is our refuge. That Hebrew word is the word that speaks of a shelter. He is saying that God is our shelter when the storms of life and the temptation to worry comes our way. It goes on to say a very present help in trouble. The Hebrew word for trouble is a word that means a tight spot. So watch this. Watch this, how the original Hebrew language brings out how colorful this is to us and how this can really help us. So the psalmist is saying that God is our shelter and our strength, a present help for when we're in a tight spot. Therefore, we will not fear. Maybe you're here and you feel like that you're in a tight spot financially. It seems like things and bills and family issues are closing in on you. The psalmist says, cry out to God because he is our shelter from the storms of life. He is a present help for when we're in a tight spot. Therefore, he says, we will not fear or worry. That psalm goes on to say, even though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar in trouble, though the mountains shake in your life with swelling, the psalmist says, we will not fear nor worry. Then he said in verse 5 of that same psalm, God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. She shall not be moved. Or God shall help her, not he might help her. He shall help her. And this is a great word for all of us who are worrying about something in this life. So what can help us? What can help us in this worrying? By focusing on the future that we will see God's will next week. Now, let me conclude with this. Today we expose the three dangers of worry, which are, number one, worry is destructive. It destroys our faith in God. The solution is found in Romans 10:17, which says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the more time we spend in the Bible, our faith will grow and increase because we will see what God did for his people in the Bible. He can do for us. That's number one. Number two, we saw that worry is also deceptive. It gives us a false view of life. We think that life consists of what we eat and what we wear. So we live to eat and we shop till we drop. That's the earthly mindset. The solution is to remember if God takes care of the birds and flowers, that he would take care of us. That we don't have to freak out about what to eat, what to wear, and all this sort of stuff. It's a never-ending cycle. It's a never-ending cycle. And so knowing that God would take care of us. Number three, worry is also deformative. It keeps us from growing in our walk with God. The solution is seeking first God's kingdom. And all these things we're worried about will be added to us. But we must put God in his kingdom first. We have to do that. Who is first in your life, God or other things and people? Or other things and people? God must be first if we want to see the worry removed from our lives. God must be first. If you want to know who's first in your life, all you have to do is check your banking account. and you can tell who's first. Verse 34 says, where your treasure is, there your heart is going to follow. In other words, your heart follows your money. If you give to God financially what belongs to him, then your heart will be into kingdom things. But if you seek everything else in God second, then you will lack God's peace and you will worry. Put God in his kingdom first, and that peace that you long for in your life, you will experience it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word that you share with us. Thank you for being so good for sharing your word. Dear God, I just pray for your people who are here worrying about a lot of things. Just like you said to Martha, 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 you're worried and concerned about many things. And you said one thing is needful. And so, Lord, we pray that we will seek that one thing, which is your kingdom. And Lord, I just pray for your people who are just freaking out. Lord, I pray that they will leave here with your peace because they're seeking you and putting you first. Lord, I pray for anyone here who has not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. May today be the day of salvation for them. May they repent of their sin and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried and rose again. Your word said they shall be saved. Move in hearts and lives today in Jesus' name. Amen.